Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Hey everybody, welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 550 for April 3rd, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Kelly.
I'm another one, Adriel.
And I'm another one, Kyle.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. So we got some sad news for the listeners. We just want to tell everybody that Mo, our friend, the Italian, Ipsic shooter, he is not going to be on the show anymore. He mentioned to us just recently that he is just not able to come on the show anymore. He wanted us to extend his heartfelt thanks to all the listeners and everything. He did one of those Irish goodbyes, which you know what, we're getting really good at for all those hosts that have been on the show. The past couple of years, those Irish goodbyes where it's just fading off into the sunset. On behalf of myself as well as Adriel, well, I'm just speaking for Adriel now and Kyle and Dave. We really want to wish Mo the best. And we did extend to him saying, hey, you know, invite, you know, there is the invite to come on anytime, but it's not really needed. So, but drop by every once in a while, make sure that he's going to give us an update on how he's doing. Life, etc. But he's going to be actively involved in competitive shooting, obviously. He's going to be doing Ipsic all over Ontario and Quebec. So people will be able to see him there. But everybody wish him the best of luck. And hopefully we'll have him on the show, probably for the 600th episode, which is in 50 shows. So 50
coming
shows.
Up soon.
Yeah.
That's it.
Before we know it.
That's a year.
Yeah. Next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Around this time in 1 year. 600th. So I just want to let everybody know that really sad Mo. Mm-hmm. Mo Betta, he's no longer going to be on the show, but I know he'll be, you know, happy to actually be able to live his Wednesdays and Wednesday life, but he'll also be listening to us.
Living his best Wednesday life.
Exactly. Kind of jealous. I really, you know, that. Okay, Adriel, why don't you tell us about what you've done in guns this week?
Lots of stuff, just like you, Maple Seed Call. We did that. We did one of them things. I've been booking out some Maple Seed events, lots of them. So we'll be doing those at Chaz and Sherwood Park and Red Deer. And I'm going to go up to Peace River this year, which is a bit of a drive. And I'll probably do Fort Mac again later on in the year if they'll have me. And other than that, PAL courses. Got one coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a lot of RPALs too, aren't you?
I need to add some more because they're all selling out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, right?
Everyone asks, I want to do PAL and RPAL. Like, oh man, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I should just pretend. The problem for me is that I don't have enough handguns that meet the criteria for what I need for the practical bit. So every time I do an RPAL, I need to borrow a kit or two from AHIA. So that's my barrier to doing these things is every time I got to do one of those things, I got like two trips to across the city to get all that stuff, right?
Do you have somebody who can be an apprentice?
Well, one of the instructors that I work with that's actually going to come out this weekend here, he's got a restricted kit, but I need more.
Okay.
I need more. Because one restricted kit for handguns, it's only three guns. If I have 12 students in a class, I don't want them all like watching three people use like the guns and everyone else is just sitting there, you know, picking their nose or whatever. I want to have like a table full of, like, I want guns for everyone so that when we're doing that practice, because I'm trying to keep these things efficient for time, right? There's minimum requirements for how long you have to be there. And I want them to get maximum value out for that time and then get into their testing and then be able to go home as early as like possible with still within the confines of what we have to do. Right.
Yep.
So I want more, long story short, I want more handguns. I want guns that I can test people with, but I can't do that right now. I can't buy them. Even as a business, I can't buy them unless
you can't
change what kind of business I have.
Yeah.
Maybe
I was just going to say, you can't take people while they're writing the tasks and take them one at a time to go through it.
Yeah, but like, so inside the PAL and RPAL is the same thing. You do the theoretical, like the training, and then you do gun handling. And then typically I'll go back to do a little bit of theoretical after that and then do the written test and then do the practical. In the practical practice, when I do non-restricted, I have 15 guns in cases, all ready to go, all disabled, all ready to go. So if I have 12 students, boom, there's 12 guns out. Everyone's using a gun during that practical part. Everyone's handling guns all the time.
Yep.
If I go to handguns and only have 3 handguns for 12 people, I need 4 times the time for practical to get the same amount of gun handling, which isn't really possible. People are going to be bored, right? Just standing around. So I need more handguns is the long and short of it, but I can't. So anyways, that's why I'm not doing as many restricted. As soon as this opens up, I'll try to, I'll just go buy a bunch of crap handguns and have like kits on kits. Right.
Well, I was just going to say you need more handguns, but you need more handguns that are different actions specifically.
Shitty handguns that no one wants to ever buy and are completely irrelevant. I need single action revolvers, more of them, and double action revolvers, more of them.
Correct.
Because single action, I got that covered. I got 3 toke revs over there. They're fairly easy to pull the firing pin on there. Boom. Yeah, it's a crap handgun to test with, but it's a PAL gun, it's fine. I could buy more if I needed to as well. Anyways, I'm just jawing at this point. That's why I'm not running as many PAL courses, because it's a pain in the ass to equip for. Booked out Maple Seed events. My M855 is here. I got a whole bunch of it from Soli Outdoors. Their shipping is fast. I like those guys. Their prices are amazing. Their shipping was fast. Love it. Love it. Haven't bought from Soli Outdoors before. I think I'm going to do that more often.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Russ is saying Ruger Wrangler for the win. You know, Russ, I had that Ruger Wrangler half taken apart, and I couldn't figure out an easy way to disable that thing. It got to a part where there was like lots of parts, and I got scared, and I put it back together. Maybe one day I'll work the courage back up to put it back to like, or take it back apart. And see how I get the firing pin is held in by an outer screw that's got 2 little dimples in it. I need a bit that fits that fucking 2 dimple pattern in order to get that firing pin out. As soon as I do that, then the firing pin is just like a little transfer little guy there. You pull him out and it's disabled and it's super, and the rest of it doesn't know. The rest of it's fine. So I'd like to do that. Maybe when I can buy them again, I'll just go buy like 4 of the stupid things. PAL course coming up this weekend. And then I think I'm going to go out for a beer with Tony tonight. He is in Edmonton. Not only is he in Edmonton, he's in my area of Edmonton.
Sweet. Thanks, so, cool. Adam.
Yeah, I'm going to say hi.
Okay. All right.
That's it for me. What about you, Kelly?
Same thing as you. Did the Maple Seed call this weekend.
For a beer too with Tony?
Yeah, going to go for a beer with Tony. Not your Tony. I'm going to find my own Tony here in Ontario.
Okay.
no. Joint. Yeah. So I did have, speaking of beers, met one of my friends. He came down from Ottawa, donated his rifle. He's moving, so he donated across the country. So he donated his rifle to Project Maple Seed. So I'm going to be shipping it out to one of our shoot bosses so they can use it as a learning rifle. So I wanted to give him a shout out a little bit later in the shout outs section. What else?
What kind of rifle is it?
A Ruger 10/22.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's a perfect one for a loaner, right?
Would have been funnier if it was like a Savage 64 or Winchester Wildcat or a Bruno with only 1 5-round mag or something like that.
What else? Oh, I'm going to be going this weekend to do the orientation for intake for the new shooters at FRPC. Super excited about that. I get to go and spend some time with people that I actually like and spend some time.
Not like tonight.
No. We're having a snowstorm right now, which is just utterly ridiculous. On Sunday, it's supposed to be 12 degrees and sunny, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be on the rifle range, of course, because that's where I'm comfortable and more at home. I will make sure that I bring my rifle so that people can see what they shoot versus giving them an opportunity to shoot my rifle. And then I'll sell them lots of gun parts. What else? Chatting with the Ontario shoot bosses. We have a couple that have been lined up. I'm talking about Maple Seeds. And we're going to be posting this soon. And my calendar is filling right up. I'm old school. Literally printed off a calendar and I've penciled everything in, and the stuff that I know for sure, I put that in ink because it can't be removed. But my life is getting busy, it looks like. So looking forward to it. I kind of miss actually seeing people on the range, kind of. And I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to my first double header where I can like camp out on the range and, you know, hang out with the guys and do the Maple Seeds.
Got one of those. You know what? I used to really look forward to staying in my car and camping on the range. My aim this year is not to do that. Typically we would go to the range and we'd set up a tent and then it'd pour. And then I'd have to actually pack everything up, including a wet tent, and I'd be soggy and miserable. So I stopped bringing the tent. So I'd just sleep in the back of the car. Mm-hmm. Well, I could never
get a cot or something like that set up in the back of the car. Or are you just roughing it?
Just roughing
Kelly, it. Kelly, you need to treat yourself. Come on.
I'm at the point where I'm going, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. So last year I broke down and I did rent two hotel rooms. One was in Cornwall. I paid a ridiculous amount because I needed a shower badly. And there was one more. I think it was London. No, it wasn't London. Where else was it? I rented.
See, if you brought the tent, you wouldn't need that because you just go stand out in the rain.
Yeah, that's true, right? I'm kidding. I
on more than a double header, like the shower is sorely needed. Yeah. On just a double header, I think I can rough through it.
Yeah.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't sleep. I think it was in Cornwall. And it was second day of a 3-dayer and I was going, yeah, this is bullshit. Anyways, so this year.
You know what I bring out, Kelly? I've got one of those little like 5-gallon solar shower things. And on, if you get enough sun, it makes it warm enough where you can clean. Like with shorts on a dusty range, my legs will get like coated in dirt and they're so
grody. Oh, it feels so good.
All you need is a quick wash of your legs and maybe like your face and your hair and that kind of thing. And you feel like $1 million.
Oh yeah. No, I traveled down the road. I know where all the Tim Hortons are within a vicinity of that particular range. So like Cornwall, I know exactly where it is. It's down the road of about 1.5 kilometers. Go into the washroom there and I do. Oh yeah. Just getting washed up, face wash. Oh, it feels so good. Yeah. Anyways, I'm just reminiscing about one of the best showers I ever had in Winnipeg after and with. Okay. Never mind. I didn't go to the range last weekend, but I will be there this weekend. So that's about it. What about you, Kyle? What have you been doing?
Well, first off, sorry for being late. You had baseball practice and tomorrow night's first game. So trying to get kids worked out on a bunch of stuff. We had a local 3-gun match here in Carlsbad on Saturday. So that was fun. We did 4 stages and they were like quick burner stages. And it was fun. I shotgun, I think I had one little hang up on it, but it ran and I pushed it hard. So it was good. I did have a hang up. Apparently you need to clean bolts and rifles because it did not want to feed at the start of one stage. So that pretty
much... that's just Canadian rifles. Yours is American, isn't it?
Well, it's American and it did not want to run. So I had to get it a little warm, fire a few rounds, and then it started cycling and I took it apart in between stages and
it was dirty.
It was a little carboned up, we'll say.
I was coated, yeah.
So yeah, cleaned that up and it ran fine the rest of the day. And so yeah, I was went into that match because it just small local, forcing myself to use the 45 degree irons on my rifle. And then besides test out the shotgun with the new springs, but, and also just really push it, try and really push myself, push the speed. Mm-hmm. And overall, I think I was successful. I was definitely on the edge and had some, what I felt like really good runs and really pushed it and it worked out. So yeah, felt good to find another limit and get back to like, cause we were watching on the breakdowns and whatnot. And I've really gotten deliberate on certain things and not really driving hard. And so that was something I want to work on.
Okay.
Buddy Craig, he's been ordering parts and they've been showing up at my house. So I get to check out all these fancy parts. One of them showed up and he told me, oh yeah, and talk about it on the podcast or whatever. So I will, because there's some pretty cool stuff. We got the Unrivaled buffers on Black Friday, but he ordered the Unrivaled Ultralight Titanium BCG. And it is very, very, yeah. And lightweight, like it's 4 ounces.
So for our audio listeners, Kyle's holding up a skeletonized BCG.
Yes, mm-hmm. a very, very skeletonized BCG, titanium. And yeah, ultra light. Like I think a normal one is like 11, 12 ounces. And this is, yeah, like I said, 4 ounces. So I'm looking at wanting to get one now.
And then you have to go get your buff, like an incredibly heavy buffer.
Oh, no, I already got the Unrivaled buffer. So this is made to, like, so like this is same company. So they make a break, the bolt and the buffer all to work as one competition system. And so like the one thing out of that system that you really need that they don't do yet, I don't know if they got plans, is an adjustable gas block.
Hmm.
So I mean, my rifle.
Always a good option for a gamer rifle.
Oh yeah, yeah. I won't go without an adjustable gas block anymore. It makes it so much nicer. And then another piece showed up. It's actually pretty cool. It's SIG Romeo 8 dot, and so like, it's feels pretty solid and it's good size. Oh. Like, it's rifle red dot. Comes with little honeycomb anti-glare shield. And yeah,
it's kind of looks like a Huey or something like that in terms of size. Yeah,
it does. Yeah. But it's a lot clearer than a Huey.
Hmm.
A lot clearer.
What's the cost on them?
Be honest, I don't know. Craig bought this, not me. But yeah, it's got 4 different dots. Like it's got a 2.5 MOA dot. Then it's got one with like 4 dots down, and then it's got a circle, which the circle I think was it 65 MOA circle. And then you can have one that's got the 4 dots with the circle. So I don't know if, yeah, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at it, really good brightness, and you can get it pretty clear. So looks pretty good. Yeah, as far as, yeah, retail, I don't know what that retails. I wasn't even looking at it. It just, hey, this is showing up at your place. Okay, cool.
I'm opening it. I'm going to put my dirty paws all over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, just getting ready, because I got to finish building a shotgun. I'll show that at some point because he got one of the Roth receivers. Been LEM2 Roth receivers. So putting together a shotgun for him on that as part of his kind of US kit. So that receiver looks cool. And then other than that, Tony had commented something on the Discord asking about my PCC trigger. So I figured I would just go over that on the air. And he was asking, is it Timney, correct? How well is it running? And how would you rate the reset force, strong or weak? The reset, very positive. it's a very short reset, but it's a positive reset. I mean, it's not like a forced reset where it forces your finger forward, but it's not much effort to do the reset. So I have it here. I was talking to them. I do wish they put out a lighter version, because this one's not bad. Like, it's 3 pounds, but so if I just do that, I mean, it's not bad on the travel. Mm-hmm. It's not bad, but then like the reset, it's just you just release the pressure, and it's reset. Oh, yeah. So it's a super short travel. Like, it is set up as a competition trigger, even though it is like 3 pounds, but it is a very positive reset. So I would say someone could probably describe it as strong. But yeah. So hopefully that answers your question, Tony. As far as how well it's running perfect. It hasn't messed up on me at all. And really the only, I did notice something, not with the PCC trigger, but it was actually with Craig's trigger. He's running a DH3, same as mine in the rifle, and it wasn't resetting on that superstition. And we found the two screws that actually tighten it into the receiver up against your trigger pins, mm-hmm. they had backed off. So the cassette was actually loose in the receiver. As soon as we tightened those up, it was running perfect again. So yeah. But other than that, I'm actually going back through podcasts and listening to stuff, because trying to mentally prep for Texas, and actually probably signing up. I already talked to Jared. Probably gonna go do He-Man Nationals next month.
Oh yeah,
up in Raton. But I'll shoot the Wee Man division. I don't have a 308 set up or pump action shotgun set up, so I'll go shoot the 223 division.
Our She-Man.
No,
we were trying to get him to do a She-Ra, right?
Yeah, the She-Ra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll do the Wee Man.
Okay.
And matches are filling. Well, my schedule also is rapidly filling up. Oh.
Sounds like it.
So I noticed something. USPSA Multigun Nationals, they're going to a Hit Factor match.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. That's going to change that matchup.
No, oh, okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Cool. All right. Well, this everybody is a short one tonight. Let's talk about the okay. Let's talk about upcoming events. Three gun matches. This is you, Adriel. Why don't you talk about the ones that are at Jazz and Sherwood Park?
Yeah, we got lots in the Edmonton area. You want three gun? We got you covered. Sherwood Park's got one on April 6th. Chaz has one on April 20th. Those happen to be the days I'm doing PAL courses. So mm-hmm. I'll be at the range. I won't be doing three gun, unfortunately. Chaz has one May 4th, and Sherwood Park has one May 11th. So they're on alternating weekends. If you want, you can fill your boots with a lot of shooting.
Doesn't Sherwood Park have a team match coming up?
They do. That one releases April 12th, something like that. I've already got I've got some plans for that. Got some plans.
Excellent.
Might have reached out to Colin already. And
right on. Yeah,
now we just need to figure out a team name that will, get us kicked off.
We vote on it again this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's reach out to the listeners, see if they have any suggestions for you.
Mm-hmm. And just so that everyone understands what I'm going for, horribly offensive shooting team names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like ones where people would be like, I don't know, Adriel, that's probably not a good idea.
That's a little over the top.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's crossed the line, Adriel. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay. If you're like, I don't know, you might be taken in front of like that Human Rights Commission on this team name.
Yeah.
That's a little bit too far, but dial it back a little bit, and that's perfect.
If the announcer doesn't really want to announce that name, you're just about at the right spot.
Okay. We do have some Maple Seed events that are up on the website. Go to mapleseedrifleman.com. You got Parksville, BC, which is April 9th. Sherwood Park, Alberta, which is April 27th, 28th. There's still spots in Sherwood Park, really?
Yeah. Cool. It's early in the season, right? So a lot of people aren't quite woken up and getting on after it.
And it's cold. Lone Butte. Is it Butte or Butte?
Butte.
Butte. Butte. Lone Butte. Which is April 28th as well. So go to mapleseedrifleman.com, get a full scope of the listings there, and then also visit it regularly, sign up for the notifications for events when they get released, and you can sign up for them too. Adriel already talked about some of his PAL courses, and he's typing as we go. I don't know if he wants to add
this weekend's full. I can't take any more people this weekend, but the 20th is love spots open for.
Cool.
It's a PAL course.
Yeah. All right. So go to Hunting Gear Guy, HGG Firearms, to get your PAL and sign up for it. One of the things I didn't forget to mention in what we did in Guns this week, but it's also in our upcoming events as well. So I'm going to talk about it right now. The CCFR Gunny Girl calendar has done the model call out. Go to either my Facebook page, or you can go to the Slamfire page, or you can go to the CCFR Facebook page as well and get the details. But we're looking for lovely ladies of the CCFR. If you're not already a member of the CCFR, go and join the CCFR, and then you can too. Then you too can participate in the calendar this year.
What email address do you send the photos to?
I think it's Jesus. I don't know. We changed that since I was doing this. Stop it. We'll look it up later. yeah, I think it's, I'm not going to give you the wrong one. So go there. You have to be a female or identify as a female. Just saying. No, oh, we're not.
You can even identify as a female.
Sure. Go and do that. Now, why don't we talk about the news, and I'll go figure out what the email is, and I'll post it.
You could just send it to me. I don't actually care if the listeners get it or not.
Well, I do. Stop it.
While you're looking for that, Riflemaker Savage Arms aims for 40 new jobs in expansion, and Ontario contributes funds. So they are putting in $3.3 million in expansion. It's all manufacturing. Two new product lines will be introduced: lever action rimfire rifles and center fire hunting rifle. What lever action rimfire does Savage make? I don't think they do. I think there's a new product. Maybe it's going to be the Savage 99.
Maybe.
Hmm. Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this is near my neck of the woods. Savage in Lakefield.
Yeah.
It's literally down the road from me.
Apply?
No. No. It's where it's not literally down the road from me. It's near Peterborough. It's near the King. It's near the Johnson. Yes, it's in the Quarthas. It's where the Johnson Ranch is.
I don't actually know this. I'm reading off the article. I have no idea.
It's
Toronto, right?
It's not Toronto.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Sounds like Toronto.
Sounds like Toronto.
Stop it. Okay, you know what? I'm going to hang up.
To support the company's investment, the Ontario government is providing $500,000 in funding through the development program, Regional Development Fund, which they're announcing, which sounds like a pretty good deal. They put in $3.3 million. Okay, they're putting in $2.8 million, and the government's putting in $500,000. That's a good deal. A couple of new jobs. A major impact in the area's economy. 40-plus new jobs in a community of 3,500 people? That is huge. Yeah, that sounds pretty huge. That sounds like... they kind of run that little community. You know, like little communities will have the mill, or they'll have the mine, or this. In this case, it looks like this area has
Lakefield. It only has Savage.
Yeah.
But they do so much in that community. They donate towards. It's right near Peterborough as well, so they do donate towards the Right. They donate towards the range days there. They donate to actually just the civic aspect of it, giving back to the community. They're one of the best jobs in that area. So many people work at that. Mm-hmm. At Savage as well.
Terry McCullough, Vice President and General Manager of Savage Arms Canada, said the government funding helps the company fulfill its expansion plans. And we've had Terry on before.
I was going to say,
that name.
Nice dude.
Yeah, very nice. Sharp guy.
Hey, Kelly, this email address you put in the comments, is that correct? It's CFFR or is it CCFR?
CCFR. What did I write?
CFFR.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, Jesus. It's CC.
Okay, so the email for all those who identify as women who want to join the calendar is CCFRcalendar@gmail.com.
I'm just going to delete that. Let me get it. Anyways, good news story. There's going to be more jobs in Canada specific to building guns. Awesome. And we've ironed out the email address for submitting for the CCFR calendar. It is CCFRcalendar@gmail.com. I'm going to delete it later. All right. We good?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. Free shipping on orders $250 or more, but there are some exclusions that apply. They now have a $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. All right, Adriel, what do we got?
Bullseye has got 25% off Phoenix flashlights. Ends today, cool. I think.
Yeah.
And soon.
Yeah, normally, their weekly specials normally end on Wednesday in the hot deals. Yep.
So take a look at that. Cabela's Wild Wednesday. They got a couple of things that typically have on sale. They have the Ruger 10/22 BX trigger on for $99, which is a good deal. Yep. And they have Walker XTs on for $50, which is a good deal, but a terrible set of headwear.
They're better than fingers in your ears.
Not as convenient. I always got these fingers.
It's hard to shoot.
Hard to shoot. Yeah. You know what you do, though? You have the person behind you plug your ears while you're shooting.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. They don't get any benefit from this, but you do.
No.
No.
You can use wire to plug your ears.
SBI is now making 10/22 receivers that'll take 20 to 50 MOA on the rail. And they've put in a more secure screw down system, which I think we referred to earlier. The Ruger 10/22, the way that the rail attaches to the receiver is kind of rinky dink. Like, it's not really that great. These guys have a better version of doing that. And 50 MOA, man, that's got to have some cant on it. They're using four bigger screws. I thought they said on one of these things.
I still think that you would need some Loctite on that puppy.
Oh, you definitely would. Mm-hmm. But they use, they use bigger screws. It's somewhere here. There we go. Four number 8x3/8 inch long screws. So they're thicker and stronger so that it will hold better and not loosen, which is kind of nice. It comes with an anti-droop barrel lock screw and a cleaning hole in the back. Look at that.
Sweet.
And I don't know. It's just a receiver. So,
anybody wants barrel droop? Clean. Excellent.
Barrel droop on some rifles is really bad. I don't know if I told you, but a friend of mine had a factory Ruger, I think like their target rifle, and it had 50 MOA of droop from the factory.
Oh, wow. I couldn't believe it.
She couldn't zero it. She couldn't zero the thing with her scope.
Mm-hmm. So what did she do?
Sent it back to Ruger.
Okay.
And they fixed it. But like, holy crap. The design is, that part of the design is not great. Like, there's better ways of holding a barrel into a receiver. than using a block that pulls it down when you tighten it.
Yeah. One of the ways they do fix it is just put a V block, but
an adjustable V block, the screw, which is what these guys have built into theirs. And I think they have a little bit more support on the bottom as well.
Cool.
Like it's got more support on the bottom, so it doesn't like pull it down. You can't pull it down.
Yeah.
As easily.
Yeah.
And this one will also take the tough 22 magazines or Ruger 10/22 magazines.
Okay.
Have you seen any of those tough 22 magazines?
No.
No? Well, I know you haven't. You guys use just Butler Creek bags. You don't need this crap. This is Canadian Cope magazines going on here. No?
No, I haven't seen any.
All right.
Okay, cool. Why don't we get into the main topic?
And welcome to the show, Gustavo Hanzofo. That's your real name, right, from birth?
Yep. It says it on the certificate and everything.
Gustavo's got a YouTube channel on Canadian gun stuff. Why don't you do your own intro?
All right. So for those who don't know me, my name is Gustavo Hanzofo. Recently I just got kind of popular because I did a lot of videos on the Raven. And just doing breakdowns like that, I've been doing YouTube and just like uploading dinky videos wherever I wanted or whatever I wanted for about 8 years now. And then it was just recently that I started to kind of go up in subscribers and all of that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. I used to do a lot of just random videos here and there. But now it's mostly like gun stuff just because that's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah, and it seems like that's where you're getting a lot of your views too, right? So we actually met IRL at a gun show, but we had communicated a little bit before then.
Yep.
And I borrowed your Raven to do that review on my channel and my site. So that was your rifle.
Yep.
And I thought like it'd be cool to kind of get you on to talk about Canadian black rifles. What's out there on the market? What's good? What's bad? You've got a couple of videos on this, on a couple of the rifles out there. I got a couple of videos. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of rant and rave about it and see what we like, see what we don't like.
Lots of ranting to do, that's for sure.
More on the rant side than not.
Yeah.
Let's start. Have you ever owned a WK-180?
Yes, I have. That was my first like tactical rifle after the gun.
Yeah, that was one of mine too. Like I don't know if you remember, like back when. Okay, so we had ARs, and most people were running ARs for competition and that kind of thing because they just worked and they were great. Some people were running WKs because they wanted something non-restricted that they could go shoot out in the bush, but not very many.
Yeah,
I had one of the original AR 180Bs. And lots of people like nowadays, they're like, oh my God, an AR-180B, those are amazing. They weren't that great. Like polymer lower, a little pin of the front that would crack the plastic on them. There was like just a dinky little rail on the top. That was it. The forend you couldn't change out. The barrel you couldn't change out. Like there was a lot on them that was really not that great. So when the WK-180C came out, I was really pumped because it looked like it solved all the issues on that thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I did a lot of milsurp stuff. Like that was my initial interest was milsurp stuff. So I know about the 180, and the reason that it was developed was because it's a cheaper alternative that was designed to be sold to third world countries. So that makes total sense that it's this cheap, almost disposable thing. Like I guess the AR-15 in and of itself was designed to be fairly like lightweight but not really heavy duty. Like the magazines themselves, like the Vietnam era magazines, they were aluminum and they were supposed to be disposable, but then it turns out they wanted to keep those.
Wait a minute, it's cheaper if we reuse these things more than once. But and then you know, with AR-15s and modern machine like CNC mills can churn out those lowers and uppers with like no issues whatsoever, whereas the original AR 180 used like a stamped steel upper, kind of like an AK, and the lower was just like on the B version, the lower was this plastic piece of crap. We got the WK-180C. I was really pumped about it. I bought one. I used it for like low volume shooting, so still using my AR for three gun.
Yeah.
uh Did I have any problems with mine? I don't think I did. I don't think I had any problems with mine. I sold mine to Kelly. Kelly had problems with mine, but that's because of the trigger I put in, right?
Uh-oh, what kind of issues did you have?
I put a TriggerTech trigger in there, and I didn't test it before I sent the trigger.
It just depending, it'd go bang sometimes, not bang other times. Yep. So
I think it's a trigger thing. I think it's like either those
it was working fine until you actually changed the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And anyway, go ahead.
No, I mean, so like that rifle, as a low volume shooter was running fine.
Yeah.
For a lot of other, now it's a Gen 1. It's got that Gen 1 charging handle on it, that floating one that shatters the inside a bit, but it doesn't snap. It doesn't snap like the magnetic one or like the screw-in one that seems to break all the time.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah, our three-gun matches are full of those things. Either breaking charging handles or breaking the pistons is the other thing that those original WK-180s are still doing.
Yeah, and it seems very hit and miss. Like, there's one person that I'm thinking of in my friends group, and he has the original, WK-180, and so far he hasn't broken any parts. But then again, I know another guy that has broken three pistons. So, yeah, choose your,
Even with the Gen 2s, it seems like, because on Reddit, I just saw someone who had a Gen 2 who'd just broken their piston as well. And that was after 600 rounds or something. It wasn't even that many. Mm-hmm. Mine like bent after 5,000. Okay, well, it's going to go at some point. They're not supposed to, but it was going to, just based on that design. And then, you had a MCR?
Yeah, I had a MCR, and then wasn't all that great. I made videos about the stuff that broke in it. My open kept getting bent, I believe up. So my bolt hold open wouldn't work. My gas block screws kept on walking out. So I just Loctited them. The thing was like super, super sharp. So if you gripped it like a conventional rifle, like back in the trunnion or whatever, it just like cut into your hands.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't a very like good or comfortable rifle. And I don't know. I really didn't like it. And just seeing more severe issues that other people got, I just got rid of it.
Yep. I kept mine, but I've had problems at plenty of matches with it. 2 years ago, I had a three gun match where I got fucked over on the long range, and it was because the barrel nut, as tightened from the factory, had loosened and was only hand tight. And I was trying to shoot with that thing and hit long range targets, and it wasn't working very good. And that was the reason. Your barrel nut should be at 80 foot pounds, not like one or two.
Wait, so you need to tighten those? I guess so.
I guess so. Like some people recommend, as soon as you get something like a WK-180 or an MCR, like take it all the way apart, retorque everything back to where it should be. And now at least you're not going to have to deal with, oh, this loosened off or that loosened off. I guess, you know, as much as we're complaining on a Ruger 10-22, that's going to happen. That top rail is going to loosen off on it if you don't put a little bit of Loctite on it and torque it down. Or a Savage 64, I guess most of the bolts on there are kind of like you need to torque them down, and plenty of the other like Savage rifles that come with rails, you need to retorque them with some Loctite, otherwise they're going to come apart.
Yep.
Not the operating mechanism though, typically. On the WSMCR, the Castle Nut at the back, this one doesn't have one, but the one that I originally had, I took it to a ladies' day as like a torture test for the first week I had it. And yeah, right away the Castle Nut loosened off and it was like all flippy floppy.
Yeah. And honestly, mine was the same thing. And no matter how much I tightened it, it would keep backing out.
Well, so you can tighten it, and then there's a little notch on the Castle Nut where you can take a punch and peen that shit in place. And it's not coming out after that.
Yeah. Like stake it.
Yep. Yep. Which you can do, and then you don't have to worry about that. And then, barrel nut, and then the gas block I don't have it Loctited. I have it peened in place. I used a center punch to like mar the metal so that those screws can't back out.
Yeah.
Hopefully I never have to change that gas block out because it's stuck.
It's yeah.
not coming out of there.
Yeah, it won't go down without a fight. That's for sure.
Yeah. So what are the other Canadian-made black rifles that you've kind of adventured with?
The BCL Siberian. So that one, that was my last one before I got the Raven. And for the most part, like I really didn't have that many stoppages through it. It was fairly reliable, but the guide rods on the near the piston face there or near the bolt face, the guide rods came off those off the guide rod. Sorry, I'm double speaking here. Anyway, those came out and they were chewing up the front of my chamber face for like no reason whatsoever. So after I seen that, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to get rid of this. Like, I made the analogy that it's almost like babysitting a rifle and just having a warranty card in queue. Like, I don't know, just gets kind of
just waiting for it to fail, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you really got to babysit some of the like this one here. I definitely have to babysit to keep it running. You got to watch for like, is the forend starting to rotate on me? Oh, maybe the barrel nut's loose. Is this rotating? Is, you know, the bolts or is the piston starting to go on me? Is the charging handle left? At least I haven't had to deal with that on this one, but too much. Yeah.
Yeah, and then after that, it was onto the Raven, onto brighter horizons, I guess. But of course, that didn't come without some kind of issues here and there. But there were a lot more minor than some of the 180 issues that I've had before.
So tell us maybe the pros and cons of the Raven then.
So the pros and cons, this thing. I would say it's lightweight. Most of the 180 platforms are heavy. Yeah. After I switched out the barrel, since the Faxon 20-inch barrel, even with my scope and mount, I got it down to about 7.6 pounds, I believe. Like, this is a fairly lightweight rifle. And I mean, you shot it yourself, Adriel. Like, you could probably agree that this is fairly light. I think this so far has been the most reliable Canadian gun that I've owned to date. Like I said, I've owned lots of other ones before.
Yeah.
Definitely had issues here and there, and I was just frustrated with having issues. For the pros, I'd say just it being very like modular and being able to take a lot of AR-15 parts comparative to the 180 platforms. Like, this can take barrels, this can take the handguard, stuff like that. Rather than just the safety and the trigger and just the small little parts here and there. Like, this is way more modular than any of the 180s.
That barrel, because like I can stick an AR barrel in this thing. But it needs to be carbine length on the gas system. And where are those? We don't have many of those around. Yeah. A lot of the like 16s are using mid-length now. And if you want to get something non-restricted, it's going to be rifle length or mid-length. So you're not going to find a non-restricted carbine length barrel. And then the forends, yeah, AR forend. But it's got to clear a gas block in there. And therefore, not really. You can't use like this sexy teeny tiny little four ends on these things, which are the nicer ones, right? And they don't fit.
Yeah. I mean, I think considering what this is, I think it is still like very, very expensive for what you get considering the platform that it's trying to emulate. But I would say that at least for the Canadian manufactured guns that I've had experiences with, this is so far the best one. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried them all. I haven't tried some of the more Gucci AR-180s, but so far, like, I'm happy with this. And the price point, like, everything that I have on it now, since it's a platinum with the top charging handle and all of that, I think it's like worth about $2,400 factory. If you get like a blem or anything like that, it's like $2,000, which you're competing with a lot of the 180 platforms. And I would take a Raven any day of the week over a 180 platform. Just strictly like on weight alone, let alone like the reliability issues.
reliability, I think. I could care if it was a pound heavier, I'd be fine. Just if the reliability is there, because even the Templars, like they're on Gen 2 now, but I keep seeing stuff on Reddit where people are having problems with them. They're, you know, breaking bolt lugs or like stuff that shouldn't be breaking. Bolt lugs is a weird one, because like those should be MPI'd and they can't be if they're breaking lugs like that.
Yeah. And it's kind of ridiculous. And they don't, if I'm not mistaken, they don't take an actual AR-15 bolt. It's different, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's okay. The AR-180s have a different bolt. They don't have the gas rings on the back.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So they're proprietary. They're all going to be proprietary, and same with the BCG.
Yeah. And also, I remember you had this issue before, but the cotter pin breaking for the retaining pin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Indeed. Yeah. Which shouldn't be a problem either, because those cotter pins, there's two styles of them. You get the solid one, you get the split pin, right? You get the split. Mm-hmm. And it's a standard AR part. You can buy them by the hundreds for pennies. Some people will end up squishing the tips a little bit too much. You need to get a flat nose in there and like a screwdriver, spread them apart a little bit so they hold a little bit more. But yeah, you shouldn't break those. Those shouldn't break. But I had mine break. I forgot about that until you reminded me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was
hurtful memories.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the reason that I like it made me angry about the reliability part so much, it was because I was actually camping and I took my rifle with me and we did like range shooting or whatever, and that thing broke while we were out. I didn't think about carrying a spare firing pin retaining pin. Like, I was totally hooped. And
you shouldn't have to, right?
No, and it's not like this is a super cheap gun either, because what are they? They're like $1,500 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, about average. There. Yeah.
If you can find them, because I think the MCRs are kind of hard to find, but the Templars are, like, they're 18 or 2 grand, depending on what, like, trigger you get in it and stock and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, just with all of the issues, especially involving the gas system, I would still pick the Raven or just something that's DI system, because like I have an SVT-40 and that has the exact same gas system, like a 2-piece gas system with a piston cup, and that thing was made properly. They don't shatter pistons while they were getting bombed by the Germans, and somehow with all the modern CNC they can't figure.
No, it was a trade-off, right? So the AR-180 piston is made so that it can fit through, like you can disassemble it from the front and it's a solid one piece. But if you go with the bigger one, if you go with the cup style, like on the SVT-40 or the original AR-180B, it also uses that same 3-piece setup as the SVT-40. It uses a cup and it's a little bit big. So you'd need to use a little bit bigger of a fore end. You'd be able to go with like a flat top on it on your fore end. You need to raise your receiver or something like that, give you a little bit more room to get the cup in there, but it doesn't break.
Yeah,
and which it's actually easy enough to take down.
Yep. Yeah, and yeah, it's the piston system is really what gets me on most of them. I haven't heard a lot of issues with like the BCLs, specifically like breaking pistons. It seems like a Kodiak kind of thing. So I don't know exactly the nuances of it. I haven't seen the Crusader Templar. I don't know if their piston system is more refined or like a Gen 2 bigger. Or whatever.
But it's bigger.
It's bigger.
Yeah, that's all they did was just make it thicker. And they're not breaking at the rate of the MCRs of the WK-180s.
Yeah, because I mean, I would assume it has something to do with the weight of the bolt. Cause I mean, the bolts themselves are heavy. They're like over a pound and you're hitting that from a dead stop. So it probably puts a lot of stress on that piston.
Yeah. Well, like if, I think lettuce there's a YouTuber who did like a breakdown of the piston problem, and he was showing like the barrel whips. If the barrel whips, this can't stay in alignment. It will actually move around. And if you get a sharp edge like that where the spring seats on it, well, that's going to be like your weak point, and this thing's going to start flexing. Now, if this thing's flexing and the barrel's flexing and everything's flexing all the time, eventually something's going to snap or bend, and that's what we're seeing. So yeah, the Templar, I believe they just go thicker. It's still not a great design, but it's just a thicker piston, so it doesn't have nearly the failure rate that the other ones do.
Yeah, and like from what I know about the Templar, they're fairly heavy, aren't they? Like 8 pounds or more than that.
Gen 1 was really heavy. Gen 2, they cut it down. They managed to cut a bunch of weight out of it, which is good.
Yeah. The only thing that I've seen with the Gen 2 was just a lighter barrel profile, but also they put those cute little checkerings in the bolt. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah.
As like a forward assist.
Mm-hmm. Who needs that if you get a side charging handle, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Although,
I
think is the Templar non-reciprocating? Or is it reciprocating? I can't remember.
I believe it's non-reciprocating because it folds up and you can like HK slap it or whatever.
That's why they have to have a forward assist, because otherwise there is no forward assist. BCL's system on that on their charging handle is actually really interesting. It's a really good idea. It's just there's so much else that's on that rifle that's not.
Yeah, and I thought. I really wanted to like that BCL Siberian. But yeah, it did kind of disappoint. I think it looks like a great rifle. It seems very slick. It's fairly lightweight. But actually, one of the things that I didn't like about it just was the charging handle. The charging handle is very small, and it's
It is a little small
and not texturized.
Yeah. And like when I tested that one, everything failed on it.
yeah, I seen that, because that was you guys got that from CFET, right?
Yeah,
and it didn't even make it to the 10,000 mark. It made it to like 4,000. They concluded the test.
I wanted to stop it earlier because they were getting so stoppages every 2 or 3 rounds. Once it gets to stoppages every two or three rounds, there's no point in doing a torture test. No. The gun's a piece of shit. It's not working. And they sent it in for warranty twice. What's the point? What's the point? You're not going to learn anything extra by going further into it. You just see like, everything else is breaking on it.
Mm-hmm.
One gun I don't have very much experience, I don't know if you do or not, is the R18 Mark II.
I know nothing about it. I know nothing about it other than it's heavy. Everybody complains that it's super heavy.
I haven't seen very many of them. I saw one once at a 3-gun match, and it ran.
Yeah,
but mind you, like the BCL Siberians at the 3-gun match that I was at ran as well. I just don't know if they run long term, right?
Yeah,
some of those are hit and miss. Some people are reporting good things with those, and then some people are like, nah, they have all sorts of issues with it. Seems very very luck of the draw with those.
Yeah, and I mean that's actually a really good point. Is some of these like your MCR there, you didn't break your piston until 5,000 rounds, and some people break them, 500 rounds. So it just seems like a toss up whether you're going to get a good one or a bad one.
Yeah. Or what situation you're in under to break the parts on it. I mean, could you? What's that, Kelly?
I just going to say what tolerances you have on that particular rifle as well.
Like, yeah. You wouldn't see a Daniel defense being like, oh, this one works and that one doesn't, though.
No, it's more consistent. Yeah,
I know.
Even and something not like an Arrow Precision, it would just like, they just all work.
I'm not super familiar with like AR-15 specifically, but I heard of Daniel defenses before. Aren't they like $3,000?
Yeah, my buddy had one that was like $2,000. And it was bulletproof. He made no changes to it other than stuff that he wanted to. It'll trigger here, get the 45 degree safety. But like operationally, the gun was just like bulletproof.
Yep.
I had an Arrow Precision. Just ran. just ran.
Yeah. I bought a nice Daniel defense right before the ban. I literally bought it right before the ban.
Oh man. Sorry to hear that.
It was
that.
Really bad timing. Yeah. So anyways, it's just sitting in the my safe, just sitting there being pristine.
Yeah. Not hurting anybody behind you.
What? Just sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well. It is what it is.
I mean, there's a couple of other guns that might come into the market, but I don't think they're Canadian main. Like that Jackal's going to come in at some point, maybe, that Iron Guns is working on. Mm-hmm. It'd be so nice if Brownells or whoever, no, it's not Brownells. They have someone else who makes the BRN 180 upper. If they could make a WK or an MCR upper, the lowers on these things are actually fine. The lower is fine. It's got a bit of a the safety can be a little bit weird. This one actually just uses an AR safety though. I believe if they could just replace this operating mechanism with one that works and isn't a piece of shit, things would be hunky dory. We just need that.
Yeah,
our guns can work completely.
Yeah, and that's something that I really didn't like to see overall, is just the reluctancy to change. Like if you had the original WK-180, they're basically using the same gas system that they are in the Gen 2s. As far as I understand, they didn't change anything with it. And like a lot of these issues or whatever, they're like, yeah, send it in, but they won't change anything. They won't change some of the critical parts that break. And it isn't like these are just one-offs. You can go to Canadian Guns on Reddit and it's littered with people that break the same kind of parts and stuff like that. Like there's a pattern to this and nothing really changes. They're just like, yeah, we'll take your warranty or send you this part or whatever, but nothing really changes, which is frustrating.
Send in your tired and weary parts and we'll give them a new home and send you a new one. That's one thing actually that I like about Kodiak is their customer service is actually pretty good. If you like when I originally broke some parts, I just like took pictures of them and sent it and they'd send me. Spectre was like, used to be like that too, but I think they're a bit slower now that they're running the Crusader Templars. Cause from what I've seen, the response time on parts breakages hasn't been that great.
Yeah.
How is it with your Lockhart?
So the Lockhart, that is an interesting story.
Let's hear it.
All right. So for the barrel, as I said before, I replaced this because the barrel itself really wasn't all that accurate. So I would be getting like 3.5-inch groups and stuff like that out of this gun, which I thought was kind of unacceptable. So I emailed and I'm like, man, the accuracy is really subpar. Like even my BCL Siberian, you know, my WK-180, you can say what you want about those guns, but they're fairly accurate.
Right.
And they're much more accurate than my Raven was. So I emailed about that and they basically just said that other people get 1/2-inch groups, so you must be doing something wrong.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Did they offer for you to send it in and they'll test it?
Nope. They didn't offer anything to me, so I just took it upon myself to get a Faxon gunner barrel. And before that, actually, I had a Maple Ridge Armory barrel.
Yeah.
That was an 18.6, but just I was having some weird things with the gassing because I don't know. From what I heard, you guys might be able to chime into this, but I heard that 18.6 gas lengths are super hard to gas, and like you have to fine tune them with buffers and stuff like that.
Could be, yeah.
But I just went for a 20-inch barrel, and then after that, it worked perfectly. But that was essentially the entire breakdown of it. Other than that, I really didn't have to go for any other like warranty things, and I got off fairly lucky. There are a couple people, they're YouTubers, but they've had issues with gassing and like they could not get it right, and the fix for it was to send out a drill bit and just be like, okay, drill this out, which isn't the best practice, obviously.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and
not if you're supplying the barrel. If someone else is bringing a barrel and gas tube and they're having gassing problems, that's your fucking problem. But if those are Lockhart barrels, Lockhart gas systems, Lockhart bolts and all, they're full rifles, that's their problem.
Yeah, so exactly.
What's your accuracy like? Like, what are you shooting now with the changed out barrel?
So my biggest reference was Winchester White Box, because that was my worst group. I got 3.5-inch groups. With my Fax on now, I can get 2 inches to about 2.25, and that's with a factory trigger, mind you. If I put a trigger tech in there, I could probably shoot it better. Mm-hmm. I use some Hornady 62 grain boat tail hollow point or something like that. And out of the original barrel, it shot like 2.5-inch groups. And with this Fax on here, it'll shoot like 1 5/8. Essentially, all the ammunitions that I tried through it, it shrunk the groups.
Shrunk the groups.
Probably about 30%.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's difference of quality barrel makes.
Yeah. And I mean, I have no information about where these barrels are made. I have no idea. I asked and I never got a response about where they're made. I don't know if they're made in house. I doubt it, but like, I don't know where they're made.
Can't imagine they're made in house, because a barrel is too easy something to buy off the shelf.
Yeah.
Like the upper and lower, I think, yeah, it makes sense for those guys. Well, it doesn't, but they're choosing to make it in house. Mm-hmm. But the barrels are probably outsourced from someone. And you mentioned the gassing issues.
Yeah.
One of their issue I saw was people with like their cases were like bulged in the middle, like the chambers were like cut poorly and they're having like extraction issues because the chambers were just not cut properly.
Oh my, that is not good.
Yeah. That's what you get with a cheap barrel. That's why I decided to go with the build. Well, that's why I was going with the builder kit, because I have like a nice barrel and I don't want another shit barrel.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fairly like minor compared to some of the other issues, like just like critical parts breakages, but it's definitely annoyance. Like even that Fax on it cost me $350, and that was an additional $350 mm-hmm. right out of pocket. Which, I mean, for a gun that's already $2,400, I wasn't all that impressed with the accuracy on the barrel.
Yeah. You're buying access to a DI platform.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think your thought around it and going with the builder's kit, you 100% made the right choice.
Hopefully, because I certainly have the parts to finish it off, right? Mm-hmm. I've got a nice 16-inch barrel. I'm going to make it restricted. I don't care. And then, you know, when this all blows over, the conservatives get in power and they reverse the C21. I guess I'll put that barrel back on an AR and sell the Raven. Maybe put an 18.5-inch barrel on it and use it as like a coyote gun.
Well, I was going to just say, you mean the OCI, but...
OIC, but there's the OIC, and then there was also C21. Yeah.
True. Okay.
I think C21 legislated what was in the OIC. I don't know if it did for ARs or not. I think it did.
No, it didn't.
No, it did for handguns. No.
It did for handguns, yes. But anyways, let's tomato and tomato when the conservatives get back in and the reviewers both C21 and the OIC. Yeah. Okay.
Can we get our ARs?
So I agree. Builder's kits are probably your best bet, especially if you want to use them for competitions. If you want plinking and just shooting the shit, go with something, you know, off the shelf. However, that being said, you want to be able to hit things and accuracy go the way of Adriel recommendations, because there are parts available. And quite frankly, it's just Adriel says he's enough parts sitting in his gun room there that he can swap things out and get whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, yep. I'm planning on doing that as a video whenever it comes. So like one of the things to mention here, you go on that website and if you don't know anything and you just buy something from like the Lockhart website and you might think you're buying something off the shelf. Cause it says there's like 60 of them in stock.
No, it's built.
you're not. They're not built. It's not a pre-order, but you're getting added to a list that at some point you might get a product.
So that's actually a really good point that we probably want to talk a little bit about before Gustavo goes away. So a lot of the guns there here in Canada that maybe may be available, some of them are coming in as pre-orders. So there's dates when they actually say this is when it will be available, and sometimes they take those dates and they keep moving them and moving them and moving them. But also here in Canada specifically, so the manufacturers here in Canada, sometimes it's you pay and then it's going to take you 8 weeks, sometimes longer, to even get your
rifle. 8 weeks.
I know, right?
I wish eight weeks. I don't have any illusion that it's going to be 8 weeks. There are people who pre-ordered their V3. Was it the upper, or was it there? Was it, I think it was the upper, the V3 of the Raven, and they were supposed to start delivering in December, and none of them have gotten anywhere.
It's March or April.
It's still not as bad as BCL and the Fox Bat. The Fox Bat's worse. That one was supposed to be October last year, and people just started getting them. October of 2022. What are you even talking about? And people just started getting them in like February and March of this year. And that was 6 months.
That's also part of where we are. Canada is such a small market, right?
Such a small market that bad service cannot be avoided in some cases.
Or sometimes it's expected. It's because it's what's available. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, Tony was just mentioning that, Kodiak never responds to him. So, Tony, I didn't actually reach out to them. I ordered off their website and they shipped it very quickly. Maybe if you reach out to them, you don't get anything, because he has a Kodiak K9 and he's had nothing but problems with it. Parts coming off and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. It's another one that's having problems. Anyways, any other rifles that you wanted to cover? Is that pretty much all you wanted to hit on, Gustavo?
That's pretty much all I wanted to hit on. Do you guys have any more questions for me?
Where can people find your stuff?
Yeah.
So my channel name is Gustavo Hanzofo. And yeah, if you look up any Raven video, I'll probably be like number 15 in the search result or something like that.
Somewhere in there. Perfect. All right. So if any listeners want to find out more about him, he's on YouTube. Thank you for coming on and ranting and raving with us about Canadian black rifles.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you on.
I didn't make too many enemies.
At some point, someone's going to talk about like the what's good and what's ugly about the, guns that we make here. And I think like it's not helping anyone if we just say that everything's going great.
Yeah, and actually, I think one of the funniest videos was TFB TV Hop or whatever. He got a Crusader Templar, and he was just like ragging on it the whole time and saying like, why would you buy this in the U.S.? This is probably the best that other markets can offer, but why would you buy it in the U.S.? And I just thought
indeed,
he's right.
Yeah, no reason. No reason to have it in the US and Canada. We get stuck with that kind of stuff. Anyways, thanks so much for coming on, and I hope to see you soon again.
Yeah, have a good one, guys. Thanks for having me.
Later.
Bye. All right. Thanks for coming on tonight and regaling us with your thoughts on black guns here in Canada. And anyways, it was a good topic. It was a good discussion.
Mostly ranting, but that's still fun.
A little bit, but I think that to be fair, we're at a disadvantage than some of our friends that are down in the south. Not saying anybody that's going to be on the show tonight, just saying we're at a bit of a disadvantage, whether it's on price, accuracy, and basically waiting for any guns. Yep, that's about it. So if we
can get KDEX rifles here, KDEX rifles are decent.
Yeah,
they are decent. Yeah, they're a little bit more expensive than.
There's some custom rifles we can get that are fine, that are in Canada. There's some guns we can have here that are okay. That would be comparable to, what you can get in the States. Just not the fun competitive stuff. That stuff's a little bit hard.
No.
And you know what? The Shadow 2 was actually cheaper here than it was in the US when it was sold here. Because CZ ran the same pricing in Canadian and in US dollars.
True.
So there were a couple of things that we had, but not very many. Not very many. Nope. Maybe like SBR Air 15s was like one more thing where it's like, ooh, we can have an SBR and we don't have to put the fake wrist strap fakey thing on the back. It could just have a stock on it. We don't have to pretend. But that's it. Oh, short double barrel shotguns. Yeah, we do have short shotguns. Yep.
You can also attach a shotgun to the bottom of your rifle and not have to bother, not worry about it.
True.
Correct. Yeah. But that's like, none of this stuff's practical.
No.
I'd much rather have an AR-15 that I can go hunting with, or grab one of these pistols here. If I'm going to go bow hunting, grab a pistol, throw that on my hip just in case I see a bear or something like that. There's some bears already out right now, which is like early in the season.
Can't do that in New Mexico. You gotta watch that. Archery season, you cannot have a firearm on you, period, when you're out hunting.
Ew, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So you gotta watch out for that one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what we're just saying is that, you know what? If we could have our AR, we would want to mm-hmm. use our AR, but we can't. Yeah. So now we're looking at other alternatives. It is what it is, people.
It's copium.
Welcome to Canada. So, all right. Why don't we get updated on the YouTube comments? Kyle, do you have any of those up? And
I do.
Available for us? Thank you.
So, first, all of them are for last week's show. Got a couple from Eddie. Adriel, there are criminals with valid pals out there. I know of a guy that was convicted for assault from a bar fight and hangs with motorcycle gang. That got his license. He even had doubts if he would be getting his license. So,
yeah, I looked up the definition of who will get rejected is kind of ambiguous, but it's something like so the RCMP looks at it. And if you've been convicted of a violent crime recently there was something else in there. There was some other things in there, but it wasn't like a black or white, like, oh, if you've been convicted of a crime ever, you can't have it. It wasn't anything like that. It was we take into consideration if it was a violent crime, nonviolent crime, and all this other kind of stuff.
Although if you're being convicted of any offenses that are violent, also drug related, they are currently issuing firearms prohibitions. But it's only a specific period of time. Depending on what it is, it's either 5-year or 10-year. It could be lifetime. I am going to acknowledge it, but it's very infrequently that they have a lifetime ban.
I wonder if we'll get to the point where you need the ban to not get approved. Because it seems like they're handing out firearms bans to everyone.
I'm going to say that people who are part of the criminal justice system, they ignore the firearms ban. They don't care.
Your firearms license might be refused if you have a history of violent behavior, you have a history of mental illness that's associated with violence or attempted or threatened violence.
Correct.
You've committed a criminal offense involving violence, harassment, firearms offenses, or drug offenses.
Correct.
Or if there's another reason that gives the police reason to believe your possession of a firearm could pose a risk to you or to public safety.
Correct. Again, those that are criminally minded don't care about...
Yeah, but they don't care about the license part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do not care. Okay, you said Eddie has a couple for us.
Yes, another one. I definitely wouldn't want to carry a Staccato for a duty pistol. I wouldn't want to carry a Glock either. Walther PDP or Canik TP9 Elite have the proper grip angle and superior factory triggers.
Nobody's going to pay for a Walther, by the way. They're going to do Glock all day, any day, because it's cheap and fast.
If well, they're we paying talking, for the Staccato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anything's out of... the discussion if they've got Staccatos at some departments. I want to find out, you should get a map of all the police departments that are running Staccatos and then don't speed through those areas because they know they're ticketing everyone.
Well, the guys here get to buy their own. They get to buy their own and choose what they carry.
But Walther's would be nice.
Yeah. So like, that's the thing. These guys are spending their own money and they come out, shoot them at competitions, everything. And
but they get to expense them, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine they get expensive.
What is the best carry pistol for a cop for outside the waistband holster carry? I haven't even thought about this. Ooh, I would want something light. Like, I wouldn't want like a steel, like a Shadow or something like that. That'd be.
Well, you still gotta look pounds. At shootability though. Like a heavier gun, it's more shootable. Like I'm all for the Staccato, like especially where they've gone, where they're aiming more to the duty side of things, not the competition side.
But cops don't shoot people. Cops like maybe will use their gun in like and fire it once in their career.
Yeah.
So do you want a 3-pound piece of shit hanging off your holster off the side, or you want a 2-pound thing hanging off the side that will still shoot someone just fine? Maybe you wouldn't want to get into like a shootout with John Wick with the factory Glock, but it's going to be lighter than that Staccato carrying it around and banging around, getting in, it's out of vehicles all day and like running after people and like tackling them to the ground and all the other things that cops have to deal with that have nothing to do with shooting people.
Yeah. I don't know what I would pick. Like I said, I know personally, I wouldn't be opposed to doing Staccato, but even like a more affordable option. I really don't know. I know I wouldn't want a lighter Glock.
Option. A lighter
or,
option.
Or a lighter like, option. Yeah.
If the Staccato was light. Yeah, sure. Why not? Who cares? Is there a light? Maybe like an alloy frame. Was someone mentioned there? Alloy frame 2011. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe an alloy frame. I think.
Yeah. I mean like
a Beretta or a SIG or something like that.
I have.
Sorry, Kelly.
I'm for going, Adriel.
I'm going way off. Well, what's up?
No, I would like you to go and research all of the police associations across the country and the different various departments and see what they're using for firearms. And then we'll do a reference or a flow chart. Yeah,
a flow chart. A flow chart?
Yeah.
Pie. I think it's whoever their procurement guy is and like how much they've influenced them.
Yeah,
I can't imagine there's actually like a logical flowchart on this. If they're buying Staccatos, there's no logical flowchart on this.
No, there's not.
They're going off script.
Yeah.
As shootable as those, like if I was in a gunfight, yes, I would want the Staccato. But like how often do you get in a gunfight? How often do you get in a gunfight where it's not you plus depending. Five other
are
cops?
Are you in Surrey and Toronto? Or are you actually in like, you know,
are there acorns Timbuktu? Around?
Yeah. Because like what most cop shootings are what like five cops just blowing someone away who's doing suicide by cop, right? just ventilating some guy who's like I'm gonna do it, and they're like they just lay waste to him. Like you don't need a Staccato for that.
No you don't.
Anywho, before I get this demonetized and whatever platform doesn't allow you to say,
speaking of which, we got a couple of warnings last time, We can.
That seems to be happening often.
I don't know what we got warnings on last time.
Assholes. I know.
I
got warnings on like all sorts. Someone had asked how much the Savage 99s go for on one of my photo albums, and I said like, oh, they're $500 to $700. Boom. Sorry, you can't sell guns. I was like, I'm not selling a gun. I'm just saying, like, well, nope, can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got three more comments. These ones are from Tony. And following in on the duty pistol theme, a duty pistol is supposed to be comforting, not comfortable. A heavy pistol makes me aware that I dropped it out of the holster, for example.
Carry an Air 15 with you all the time, then.
And on the same token, the holster that you're running when you're running duty, it should not be falling out of your holster. No.
You're
running a bail, a hood, something.
You have to stop because, there was just a video that came out of, I guess in Brazil, some lady, they're like trying to arrest some lady and she like reaches back, grabs this handgun off this guy and starts firing behind her blindly. Non-retention holster.
Yeah.
Was it in a flip-flop?
Probably one of those flip-flop holsters. Some old 38 revolver in a flip-flop holster.
And Tony says, is player dead? At least it ain't working as intended, I don't think.
We haven't been streaming to it recently because it's another couple of steps, but we move the videos over there.
Yeah.
And then he says, he still looks down the barrel before dry firing. before dry fire training every time.
Who does?
Tony.
Okay.
But why?
I don't.
Because you can see the chamber from the back, right?
Yeah. Just check. Check the chamber.
But why would you be checking for a barrel obstruction if you're doing dry fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you don't have a loaded round in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, some of the snap caps might be dark and hard to see, so maybe it would be easier to see from the other side.
Yeah. On the same token, hold it up to a light, you should be able to see the light shine in
through the chamber. Yeah.
Or see something.
You won't see a bore obstruction, but you'll see
Well, if there's a bore obstruction, you won't see any light coming down.
No, well, like a partial bore obstruction, I'll say.
Okay. Yeah.
It's dry. Anywho,
we're getting pedantic, I think.
Yeah.
We're done.
All right. That is it for YouTube.
Awesome. All right. I think we hit all the Facebook comments as well. I don't think that we need to go through any, unless we missed anything. Nope. Any recent ones that I did not see? Okay.
CZ-75 and 56 are used as duty guns around the world. They're heavy. They're heavy-ish. Yeah.
So, we are going to go over, don't forget to check us out on Discord. We're going to go over there. Obviously, Tony was on there recently, and we do occasionally go on there. I don't go on there, let's be real. Adriel and Kyle are on there. So go over, they will chat with you over there. If you tag me, I will go over there. I'll tell you that. Other than that, I don't go on there. If you need anything, go over to our Facebook page. I'm talking about Cabela's. We also have the affiliate link for Brownells, don't we? Still on there?
Go to our website. Click there from the website, and then you buy the thing. And yes. I didn't capture our purchases. We'll do that next week.
Yeah, just saying, either Cabela's or Brownells. Go over there, click on the link, because it gives us money, and we like money. Without money, we wouldn't be able to put out this wonderful content. Go over onto Patreon or Player, because you can support us over there too, even though Player is not all that active. I think we're streaming to Player right now tonight, aren't we? Yes?
No, because I gotta make a separate episode, and it doesn't just take them. Like Odyssey and what's the other one that I do? Odyssey and Utreon. Just take it. They'll just start a stream as soon as you start streaming to it, but Player doesn't. So,
okay, it's a little bit more work. Adriel, put the effort in.
I post them afterwards. Afterwards. Just not the live shows.
Excellent. Okay. If you do want to contact us, go to slamfireradio@gmail.com. We'll love to hear from you. We'll read your emails on our episodes as well. We didn't have any this week, so we're not reading anything. Let's get into the shout outs then. Adriel, do you have any?
Next week.
Excellent. What about you, Kyle?
Shout out everyone who came out to the match on Saturday and helped set up, tear down, and just enjoyed the day.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm going to give two shout outs. I'm going to give a shout out to John, who donated a rifle to Project Mapleseed. And I just wanted to say thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And I hope you have a good trip to your final destination, which is in BC. I also want to give a shout out to Mo. Because it's been a slice. It's been 2 years. Has it been two or three? I can't remember if it's...
Three.
Has it really been 3 years? Oh, my goodness.
I look back.
Oh, Mo, it's been 3 years, and you've grown with us. I've seen you grow up. No, it's been a lot of fun, and we're going to miss you.
It has.
Yeah, so I just...
Yeah, more gray now or less?
He doesn't have any hair. Well, we can measure it by his beard.
The gray in the beard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was gray when he started.
Mm-hmm.
He's gray when he finished. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, anyways. All right. That's it for shout outs. Just want to say thank you to everybody for joining us this evening. And also, why don't you go on over to Discord, as I said, but also actually check us out on Facebook, YouTube, and Player, because we do go there occasionally and upload a little later. Adriel will do that later tonight.
So automatically. Go check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Join the CCFR, because right now you have to. I'm just saying, go and do it. It's only $60. Don't be so cheap. And then, actually, we'll see you next week. Bye.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
when the talking is over. It's time to get a gun.